Grace to you and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. However and whenever you may be watching, thank you for joining us. And I pray that this time of worship is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors here. In just a moment, my colleague, Brother Hammett Evans, will be bringing a message that reminds us that we meet Christ among outcasts and outsiders. We'll also share Holy Communion later on in the service. So you're welcome to participate. When time allows, gather your grape juice or wine and bread. Make sure you have enough for everyone and have those on hand and ready to go. Also, please take a moment and let us know you're here. You can scan the QR code on your screen or simply just make a comment in the chat, either on YouTube or Facebook. We also invite you to like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram. Also, please share this service so it may be a blessing to others. Now, as we gather together, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship by going to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for today, for this moment, this opportunity to gather, to give thanks and praise, to glorify you in worship. Gathering in virtual spaces with the Holy Spirit among us, we invite you, God, to be with us today, to transform us into the image of Christ that you call us to be. Move us this morning, God, through the message, the scripture, and the prayers, so that we may then become what you call us to be in the kingdom-building process in our community. God, we pray for each other. We pray for all of those who need your healing and your love and your mercy the most. And so, God, we thank you once again that we can come together and praise you in this time. It's in your Son's holy, beautiful name we pray. Amen. Now I'd like to introduce Nicole Rose, our Director of Children and Young Families, as she shares a special message with our children.
Good morning, Asbury. I am Nicole Rose, and I am the Children's Director here, and I'm so excited that I get to talk to you for a little bit. If you're a kid, come listen, because this message is for you all. I want to talk to you about something that I loved when I was a kid, when I was your age. And I have a picture of it. This is what it was. Does anybody recognize this or maybe have an idea of what I liked? It is a Happy Meal. So you may or may not have had these before. If you have had them, maybe it was on a road trip, or maybe it was a special occasion, or maybe you're just really lucky and you get them all the time. That's cool. But I really liked them when I was little. And I had two things that I loved. I loved eating the French fries, and I loved the toys. The toy was probably my favorite part, and it made me feel really happy. So the crazy thing is, though, is after I would eat the French fries and I'd be feeling really happy, I'd be kind of sad because they were gone. They didn't last very long. Or the toy, it made me really happy for a while, but then maybe I broke it, or maybe I lost it, or maybe my sister like took it from me, so I couldn't play with it anymore. So then I wasn't very happy about that either. Well, this whole thing, this Happy Meal, reminds me of something that we do at church. We have our own Happy Meal at church, and that is what we eat on Communion Sunday. And we're actually going to do it this morning. So our Happy Meal is a little piece of bread and a little bit of juice. And the bread represents the body of Jesus, and the juice represents Jesus' blood. So when we eat this Happy Meal, we're reminded that Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross so that you and I could have everlasting life with him in heaven. Now, that's something to be happy about. And that Happy Meal, that happiness doesn't go away. Because when we take communion, we are just filled with this joy, knowing that we are so unbelievably loved. So today, anytime we take communion Sunday, I want you to remember that this is your happy meal. This is something that should make you feel happy on the inside. All right, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for reminders on being happy and being joyful. And thank you for another Sunday at Asbury with all of our amazing children. We love you. Amen. See you guys next week.
Thank you, Nicole. In our Bible story today, a foreigner shows amazing faith. It reminds us that there's more than enough for everyone when we participate in the kingdom building process God calls us to. You're welcome to support our ministries at Asbury Online by texting Asbury UMC to 73256 or by mailing a check to the church at 1700 Napa Valley Drive in Little Rock, Arkansas. You may scan the QR code here on the screen and you can find out more about those options. In the midst of our differences, we are one in Christ. I invite you to pray as Diana and Caleb share, we are the body of Christ.
One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal. To see you exalted, we are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. Jesus left that place and went into the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know that he had entered a house, but he couldn't hide. In fact, a woman whose young daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard about him right away. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was Greek, Syrophoenician by birth. She begged Jesus to throw the demon out of her daughter. He responded, "The children have to be fed first. It isn't right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." But she answered, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." "Good answer," he said. "Go on home. The demon has already left your daughter." When she returned to her house, she found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. After leaving the region of Tyre, Jesus went through Sidon toward the Galilee Sea, through the region of the 10 cities. Some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly speak, and they begged him to place his hand on the man for healing. Jesus took him away from the crowd by himself and put his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. Looking into heaven, Jesus sighed deeply and said, "Ephphatha," which means open up. At once his ears opened, his twisted tongue was released, and he began to speak clearly. Jesus gave the people strict orders not to tell anyone, but the more he tried to silence them, the more eagerly they shared the news. People were overcome with wonder, saying, "He does everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and gives speech to those who can't speak." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Nick. And thank you for joining us today. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on us wherever we are gathered, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. Don't you hate it when someone you admire goes to the dogs? It could be a sports figure, or a celebrity, a politician, even a religious leader. It's so disappointing, so disheartening, so discouraging. And if I'm honest, that's how I feel when I read this story from Mark's gospel. This is the one place in all of the gospels where I feel that Jesus lets me down. The more I chew on the story, the more sour the taste gets in my mouth. So let's look at it. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has just had a major confrontation with religious leaders over what makes a person unacceptable to God. Jesus and the disciples had been traveling back and forth between land settled by Jews and land settled by non-Jewish Gentiles. As they traveled back and forth, Jesus performed the same miracles for the Gentiles as he did for the Jews. It was very shocking. The Gentiles ate things that God said not to eat. They did things God said not to do. They spoke different languages. Most of the Gentiles believed in other gods. Many Jews believed that the Gentiles were like the Canaanites of the Old Testament. They should be completely eradicated from Palestine altogether. Most Jews, for that reason, stayed as far away from Gentiles as possible. They even called them Canaanites, for the people Israel conquered when they entered the Promised Land. Now, the Greek word for Canaanite is kananios, and that sounds a lot like the word for little dog, kunarion. In English, Canaanite and canine still sound similar. So they called Gentiles dogs. It was like a racial slur. The Gentile dogs were the outsiders. But by treating them like his own people, Jesus showed that God loves the dogs just as much as God loves the children of Israel. That really upset the religious leaders. Why be religious at all if God loves the unreligious or the differently religious? What's worse, Jesus' disciples started acting like Gentiles by breaking religious rules. They were picking grain on the Sabbath. They were eating with unwashed hands. When the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus about their behavior, he said it's not what you eat or how you wash or how you dress or even where you live that matters. It's what's in your heart. Now, in our next series, we're going to see that even Jesus' disciples didn't understand. Well, Jesus had had enough. He had to get away. And so he takes off. And when I say that Jesus takes off, he really takes off. He walked 35 miles, that's a two-day journey on foot, to the northeast. He stopped in a seacoast town in Syria called Tyre, deep in Gentile territory. Now, why did Jesus go so far? Were the disciples getting on his nerves? Were the crowds too much? Was he just sick and tired of hypocrites bad-mouthing and interrogating him? Maybe he just needed a little me time. Well, Mark doesn't really say. All he says is that Jesus didn't want anyone to know where he was. But it's hard to hide when you're God's son. Sure enough, this woman, a Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician by race, heard that Jesus was in town and went to see him. Now, Syrophoenicians did not have a great reputation. The prophets looked forward to a day when God would wipe Syrophoenicia off the map. Whenever Syrophoenician women are mentioned in the Bible, it's always bad. Solomon's first mistake, it was marrying a Syrophoenician woman. The most infamous Syrophoenician woman of all is Queen Jezebel. Jezebel's influence on her husband, King Ahab, led to the complete destruction of northern Israel. And if you remember the story, Jezebel wasn't just a dog. In the end, she became dog food. So this Syrophoenician woman comes to Jesus for help. Her baby daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit, and she came and fell down at his feet and begged him to throw the demon out. Now, here's where Jesus lets me down. Looking at this desperate mother, Jesus looks at her and says, "Let the children get full first, for it isn't good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." How could Jesus say that? He refuses to help the woman and then calls her and her daughter little dogs. How could he? And I'm tempted to just try to explain it away and make excuses for Jesus. Maybe he was testing her. Matthew seems to think so, kind of, if you read that version of the story. But Mark gives us no clue, no insight into Jesus' motivation. But it didn't matter to her. She wasn't having it. She was not giving up with a fight, even if he was God's son. She says, "Lord," you know, even though he just called her a dog, she refers to Jesus by his proper title, Lord. She says, "Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table and eat the baby's crumbs." And it's like she says, "Lord, you can call me a dog all you want, but if I'm a dog, please give me some of your crumbs." Now, I think Jesus got choked up. Here he is in this moment of crisis when no one understands what he's doing and who he is. And this woman, this Syrophoenician woman, reminds him of who he is and what he came to do. Yes, God loves the children of Israel. And yes, God loves the Gentile dogs too. Jesus said, "Because you've said this, go. The demon has left your daughter." Now, this is a watershed moment in Mark's gospel. Immediately, Jesus leaves, and he really goes to the dogs. He heads north to Sidon, the very hometown of Jezebel, deeper into Gentile territory than he had ever gone. And then he heads south to the Gentile side of Lake Galilee. That's a 120-mile journey on foot, a 9-day trip. And he does it to preach the good news to a bunch of dogs. He healed them, he fed them, and in the end, he died for them. And after his resurrection, where did he tell Mary Magdalene to tell his disciples to meet him? It's where the dogs lived. That's where you find Jesus. So who are the outcasts? Who are the outsiders today? Who are the people that we make fun of and call rude names? Let's go to them and let's serve them. Let's feed them. Let's share the good news with them. And then we'll just smile when people say our church has really gone to the dogs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. Christ invites everyone to join him at his table. As we celebrate Holy Communion, I invite you to gather grape juice and bread. Wine is okay if that is what you have on hand. But let's begin by taking a few moments and confessing our sins to God in silence. Let us pray. Let us pray together. God of mercy, we confess that we have not loved others as you have loved us. We failed to follow your example or to obey your commandment to love one another. Forgive us, restore us, that we may abide in your love and live out your mercy for the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Lord, we remember the good news that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. We trust and we believe in the promise that in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. May God be with us as we continue to pray. God, we lift up our hearts and give thanks to you. You made us in your image to love and to be loved. When we turned away and our love failed, your love always remained steadfast. By the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you delivered us from our slavery to evil, sin, and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and shared it with his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you, shared it with his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, God, as we remember these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as living and holy sacrifices in praise and thanksgiving. We do this in union with Christ's offering for us. We pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us wherever we are gathered, and on our gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Gracious and loving God, we lift up all who are ill or in special need of your grace. This morning we especially pray for Clifford Smith, Jesselyn Sinkhorn, June Glazier, Betty Hill, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, June Counts, Patty Shoemaker, Joe O'Dell, Lanny Langley, Nate Hill, Jay McDaniel, Jessica and Jonathan Sears, and their twins Luke and Olivia. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And the people of God said, Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Jesus Christ. As we eat the bread, we remember that this is the body of Christ given for us. As we drink the cup, we remember that this is the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer as Diana and Caleb share the song, Psalm 23.
Shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures, he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name. For his His great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy. Prepare a table right before me in the presence of my enemies. Though the arrow flies and the terror of night is at my door, I'll trust you, Lord. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy.
Thanks again for joining us, and thanks to everyone who took part in this service. Come back next week as we begin a new worship series. It's called Blind Spots, and we'll be looking at a section in Mark's gospel that begins with the healing of a blind man and ends with the healing of another blind man. In that section of Mark, Jesus reveals who he is and what he came to do. Some see, but others don't. If this service blessed you, please share it with somebody else. And now would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.